Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Hello all, welcome to Up the podcast made by the fans, for the fans. Grab yourself a drink, put your feet up and listen in. And by the way, there could be some strong language.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the latest episode of the Ashley Wilson Talks Peterborough United podcast. My hosts don't know that I've just rebranded the podcast, but for those that are interested in the Up the podcast opinions, I'm going to disappoint you all this evening. We will not be discussing rebrand gate this evening, because with just the three of us, myself, Lods and Dell on, we didn't feel it was appropriate to fully discuss that. So we will be discussing that. We're hoping to get that recorded at the weekend after the Leyton Orient game, where there'll hopefully be five, six or seven of us so that we can have a really good discussion on it. And of course, we have invited Clive on to discuss as well. At the time of recording, he's yet to respond to us. So that is something that we hope to have in the future. But for now, we're going to discuss Walsall, which was last night in the Virtue Trophy. Obviously, Leyton Orient preview on Saturday, and then we are then going to discuss potentially some transfers. So to kick us off, Dell, do you want to tell us about last night?
So last night we won. Now, you can look at it in two different ways, in my opinion. You can look at it and think, yeah, it was great. We scored four goals. We battered them, which we did. Or and we threw it to the next round. We're like two games away from Wembley. Or we could actually look at it factually as we beat a second division reserve team with our first team, pretty much. Which, if you look at it that way, is not really much to shout about. So I'm going to be the positive. We won. We won the game. There were some good moments. There were some shit moments. And let's be honest, if we hadn't have won that game, then I think... Well, I don't know. It would have really sort of showed where we are this season. They wasn't very good at all. So their reserves are probably about as good as ours. I didn't think that was very good. But having said that, they still could have caused an upset. If it wasn't for Bilo having a bit of a blinding game, to be fair, I'm going to ignore the little mistake at the end because I didn't actually see it. I ain't going to lie, because I turned around, I was talking to somebody and I'm like, what the fuck happened there? So I didn't see it. So I actually thought he kept us in the game, if I'm honest. He had three or four very good saves, and they were very good saves. He had an above-average performance. I don't think anybody could argue that, even with the mistake at the end. Disappointing that happened, but these things happen, they're going to happen. You know, the way our luck is this season, the way things are going, you know, we've got to accept that these things are going to happen. They shouldn't, but we have to accept that they are. So overall... There were some good performances. Up top, there was some glimpses of, what's his name, Brad? He looks all right when he come on. Quite like Gustav. Is that how you say it? Gustav? Gustav. The Swede. Oh, for fuck's sake, man. I even practiced it. So I've been practicing it and still get it wrong. Anyway, the Swedish lad, I was actually quite impressed with him from what he'd done. But then again, we need to go back and, yeah, it was against a League Two reserve team. So if you can do that against First Division defences, then fair play. But I did actually like the look of him, going to the right places. I'm quite impressed with his second goal. The finish of it was very good. So, pretty good. I enjoyed it. Decent game. But the performance from both teams was quite poor.
Do you know what? We all came on here when we recorded last and we said it would just be nice to see a win. And that was what it was. It was nice to see a win. Was it convincing? No. Would it have been convincing at 4-1? Probably yes. Should we have probably scored some more goals? Yes. But, you know, all in all, it was probably just about getting back to winning ways, and we've managed to do that. So we can't, I don't really think that we can complain. I know that John mentioned the last time that we recorded that he just wanted to be entertained, and four goals is entertaining, isn't it? And then obviously Comedy Roadshow at the end, I was like Dell as well. you can't criticize someone if you don't see it. I think that's probably a thing that I struggle with the Virtue Trophy games, is they really don't hold your attention like a league game would, or like an FA Cup game would, where you feel like you want to engross yourself in all 100 minutes of football. I like the competition, and I like that we're into the quarterfinals. And I think that probably the quarterfinals are where it then does start to get interesting. Like Charlie said, you can see the Wembley arches now. We're two games away. Hopefully the players take some confidence from last night. There wasn't any rotten performances, so that's a positive as well. And like Del said, the subs came onto the pitch and certainly weren't taking us backwards. They didn't carry us forwards, because it wasn't a game where we needed to sort of them to make massive differences. But what you don't want to do is your subs to come onto the pitch and then the performance slip off and drop off. So overall, I would probably say that I was quite impressed with all 16 players that made their way onto the pitch, for sure.
I couldn't attend the game, so I'm not going to pretend like I know exactly what went on. But from the bits I did see, it felt like we were playing similar to how we were at the start of the season, where we tried to score as many goals as possible and hope that it was more than what we conceded. And the two goals we did concede were just defensive mistakes. We haven't changed our defenders yet. So the Bielo mistake is just on brand for him. And Oscar Wallin made a defensive error as well. So I'm not overly fussed about it being Walsall or Walsall's reserves or whatever. They had a lot of shots, but it felt like from the extended highlights that a lot of them were from long range anyway. And like you said, Bielo made a few decent saves. So I think the most important thing was how well we attacked, how well we gelled together up front, especially with Gustav being new into the side. We didn't have Poku playing, we didn't have Hayes playing, and we still managed to create plenty of chances. And if Gustav is going to be as prolific as he was last night going forward, then that's a really positive sign for us, because we're well known for having a big goal scoring striker. We're normally in the running for a golden boot. And I don't think since Jono left, I don't think we've had a striker get double digits. I think Ricky might have just managed it, but we're relying on other positions to get goals. And it feels like for us to get that identity back that we're used to seeing, we need a striker that can get 20 a season. And Gustav might be that striker.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that is the difference, is that last season, definitely it felt like we had a lot of 10 to 15 goal scorers. And Gustav at the moment, obviously, we've only had sort of 135 minutes of football from him. If that now, actually, because he didn't play full 90 yesterday. So probably, let's say 100 minutes of football. But to get two goals in 100 minutes of football is really positive, isn't it? And hopefully he can carry that on to the weekend. But like you say, he hopefully is going to be that sort of 20 to 25 goal scorer that Peterborough United are well known for. My big concern is that actually he looks way better than us. Certainly off of the performance yesterday, the link up play that he had with Con Clark, with Mothersill, was really good. And that's with sort of what, probably 2-3 weeks on the training ground. So if we can get through January and keep hold of him, that would be ideal, because then at least we'll get to see him for sort of 5 months. But it does look like a really positive signing. Obviously, D-Max said that we were going to love him. John was going to love him. I think that he's now an automatic starter after that performance yesterday, provided that he's got the fitness. It's difficult not to be excited by somebody when, realistically, Wallin's not been fantastic. So the bar was maybe set quite low, because we don't want to maybe put pressure onto Gustav. But, you know, his interview last night, he said that he thrives off of that sort of stuff and he wants to score goals. So that's exactly the sort of attitude that I think that we're after a Peterborough United striker.
That's all fair. Can't disagree with that. Apart from what you just said about Wallin there, you said he's not been all that great. But with Wallin, you know, I think Wallin's a bit of a really, really good player, or a really, really shit player. We need to get that consistency of him, because there's so signs of a good player in there, but then he'll do something fucking pony. And we just need to cut that out of the games, and, you know, we will have a good player there. But yeah, now let's go back to the game. It was a good win. It was a good win, because we're through to the next round. And when you have a good win, you enjoy it. It's not so much analysing the performances, player by player, etc. It's a cup competition. You win the game. We won the game. I know it got a bit nervy towards the end, but if I didn't feel at any stage after the first two goals, not the first one, but the first two goals, I didn't feel at any stage we was not going to win that game. You know, even when they pulled one back, we pulled another one back. And even when they pulled it back to 4-2, obviously it wasn't much time left. But at no stage did I feel we wasn't going to win that game. So I was already looking through who. So when I was looking, I was being told, because I couldn't bother get the phone out and look, I was being told who we could potentially play in the next round. So, you know, that's how far ahead I was during the game of looking ahead. So forget about the performance. It weren't great, but in my opinion, but it's a great result in the end. So, yeah, let's see who we can get.
Do you know, one player that I think that definitely does need praise is Harley Mills. And I've been really excited by the performances that he's put in. Obviously, the red card against Barnsley was harsh, maybe, let's say. And he's then missed three games on the back of that. But he slotted straight back in at left back. And he's given us that opportunity to go back to the back four, having a natural left back, whether Fergie wants to play Sparks, whether Sparks wants to play or not. I don't think that matters at the moment. I think that Harley Mills is a starter if we are going to play the four at the back. And I think that actually there's probably reason to be positive with the signing that we made in Carl Johnston as well to come in. And it does feel like we've got better options now already across the back four. I know that obviously we're going to talk later on about potentially some more options coming in, but at the moment I've not seen any rumours, so I've always struggled to get excited by players that we bring in until we see them play. But you know, I think that what we've got is certainly starting to look stronger. Yes, we've conceded two goals against Walsall, but they are a formed team, and you know, playing against a reserve team or their second string 11 is still going to be a challenge for a team that's got that positive atmosphere, got that those good vibes around their training ground compared to the posh team that had sort of had an absolutely rotten spell over Christmas. So no, I don't want to flog a dead horse, but it really actually was nice to just get a win and be able to take that into Saturday. Obviously, Orion, 120 minutes of football and then a penalty shootout. They're going to be knackered, 12:30 kickoff. You know, it's starting to trend in the right direction. And we've said before where we couldn't see where our next win was coming from. Now it really does feel like we are looking. We've turned a corner. The only other person then that I would probably say was Con Clark. I think that again he's showing that he's got the signs. He's definitely picked up with Gustav how he plays, and that's fantastic. If we're going to play this 4-2-3-1 again, which we all desire and deserve, but. You know, I've made comments to a few people. Chris Clark looks like the kind of guy that is going to get match fit through playing games, and it's certainly his time now. Now that obviously Randall's gone, I don't want to see us bring in another central attacking midfielder. I want to see Chris Clark play for the rest of the season. I want to see him get spot on match fit, and then kick on from here.
Yeah, it's interesting. I said earlier about Peterborough finally looking like they've got a striker that's going to get those 20, 25 goals a season. But I was trying to think back to the last time we had like an attacking midfielder that had a good link-up play of a striker as well. And I don't think we've had one since perhaps the promotion season, that three we had with Dembele, Jono and Szmodic. They had quite a good relationship. But I think when you're playing with wingers, it doesn't really work as much. And I don't think Randall's ever had a good relationship with any of the other attackers that we've had. You don't recall many sort of attacks that you're building up with like two or three particular players. I think the closest we've come is probably Burrows and Mason Clark on the left-hand side of last season. I'm quite glad from what I have seen of Chris Clark. I am quite impressed. He hasn't scored yet, but he seems quite unselfish. He seems like he's courageous. He wants to have a go. He's not one that passes backwards. He's not one that's trying to shoot whenever he gets the opportunity to. Well, he is a little bit, but feels like he's a lot more confident with his shooting, unlike Randall. I really hope that what we saw against Walsall last night is something that we're going to see throughout the rest of this season, because we're going to be playing them too next season, aren't we? They're going to be our starters. So this is basically like a trial run of how next season's going to go. And if they can play like that next season, I think we will be back in sort of the top half, top six area where we thought we were going to be this season.
That's, again, another fair point on, they call him Cricks, whatever. Anyway, but yeah, no, he, I think you're right. There are signs from him where he's, I like his strength. You know, he don't get pushed off the ball very easy, whereas Randall, well, you could blow on him, it's over. Yeah, he's work in progress, definitely work in progress, but he's putting the effort in, he's putting the yards in, and, you know, I reckon he could, like, end up being sort of a fan's favourite if he carries on carries on the way that he's going. So, yeah, no, I quite like him. The only thing, and this is just a really anal thing, for some reason, I'm not a fan of him wearing a number 9 shirt. It just don't sit right with me. Fucking hell, swap it. Have Randall's number or whatever, but just don't have a number 9 as a number 10 or whatever you want to call it. It's just, I know it's not important in the scheme of things, but it just fucking irritates me.
Dale, you're sounding like the old man that you are there and wishing that they should have no names on their back. They start with 1 to 11, no such thing as squad numbers. That's not the way that it is now. It's, don't forget, it's all about the brand.
Can't be a bit of branding.
And people want that Con Clark. That's a lot of letters. And that number 9 is a good number on the back, isn't it? And that's the most popular number as well, don't forget. And it goes well with that song that they sing about him.
I have to say, last season with the Football League trophy, the Bristol Street Motors trophy or whatever it's called last season or this season, when we were at this stage last season, I was a bit annoyed that we were trying to progress as far as we were, given how close we were to, at one point, winning the league, but certainly finishing top tier. And I thought it might have hampered our chances. And we'll never know if it did or not. Obviously, we're all grateful of the day out at Wembley. We all enjoyed the day and the moment, and it was good for Harrison Burrows. This season's completely different. Like, we've got such little to hold on to in terms of positivity that we're so desperate to get to the final, aren't we? To just to change all the fans' vibe this season. And then not only that, there's also a benefit. I mean, how much do you reckon we would have sold Harrison Burrows for had he not done what he did at Wembley last season? Because he was out of contract this summer. He didn't want to be here. He didn't want to sign a new deal. And I know his stats were quite good in terms of goals and assists, but I think without that moment at Wembley, we've probably added an extra million to his price tag. And that could happen again with any of our players. If we could go all the way to Wembley on that stage and a player goes and scores a hat-trick, for example, we're looking at financial benefits as well as the fans being positive and the players get a good chance to play at Wembley or the ones that weren't here last season. It feels like we're now turning the corner. Randall's left the club. We've got potentially a couple more coming in through this window. We've already got our striker sorted. It feels like we're turning the corner now in terms of this squad upheaval. And if we can be positive going into the second half of the season, I'm really confident in the next season. And I think a win at Wembley, going all the way, or even just getting to Wembley. If it's Birmingham, look, we're gonna have a big struggle if it's Birmingham. But even if we can get to Wembley, I think we've done well given the first half of the season.
Just going back to Wembley, how much we actually made on Burrows, don't give a shit. I don't give a shit how much we sell a player for, how much we buy a player for. It has no relevance to me. You know, don't go in my back pocket and I don't spend it. But for me, it's a day to remember. You know, you was a massive, like, I'm not going, Lods. I ain't going to any of the games, but you enjoyed the final. You know, and even now, you're like, you're changing your mind about, well, actually, I'm looking forward if we get to the final. It changes the mindset. And I've always said that seeing your own team play at Wembley is one of the best feelings ever. You know, I've been at Wembley lots and lots and lots of times. The four best times I've had going to Wembley, or four of the five, is with Peterborough, because that's my team, you know? So, yeah, I hope we do get to Wembley, because I enjoy watching, you know, your team come out. And you see Peterborough United on the screen as you're walking up Wembley Way. It's a great feeling.
So I want to know, you said four out of five games have been with Peterborough. What's the one out of five that's not with Peterborough? What game was that?
England, Scotland, Euro 96.
Oh, I was too young for that.
Can't, you know, the Gaza over Andrew Zed, that game, fucking hell. You know, that was amazing. And also, you know, I could say 4 out of 6, because I was at the semi-final for the Euros against Denmark. And that's when the attendance was about 130,000. That's during COVID. There was no way there was only about 50,000 in that game. There's 4 to a fucking seat. You know, Wembley was literally bouncing, and it was amazing. I can't even remember the game. I've got to be honest. Didn't it go to like extra time or something? I can't remember that. It's only like looking back, it went to extra time, but just the atmosphere was really, really good. But yeah, so 4 out of 6, 4 out of my 6 best Wembley experiences have been with Peterborough. But yeah, that England Scotland against with Gaza, nah, that will take some beating, to be fair.
Right, well, next up on Saturday is Leighton Orient at home. It is a 12:30 kickoff for those that need reminding, not a 3 p.m. on Saturday. Obviously, like I've mentioned earlier, Leighton Orient 120 minutes against Derby in the FA Cup third round last night. So is there going to be some tired legs? Lods, I'm going to come to you first to tell me what you want to see on Saturday versus Orient.
Well, more of the same. We don't know how serious Hayes' injury is, but I assume he's not playing. I suppose the big question mark is the back line, because out of the 4 that played in defence last night, potentially only one of them could be playing against Orient. Fergie said that we've got a centre-back and a left-back coming in. He sounded very confident that they would be in time for the game on Saturday, but I mean, recording on Wednesday night now, and we've heard nothing, not even a rumour. Getting Carl Johnston in will be good. It'd be good for him to play in front of the home fans. It'd be good for everyone to see how different and what he brings. But apart from that, I mean, the same sort of lineup, I don't think would be terrible. Like I said, I didn't watch the game last night as such, so I didn't really see how good Odo was, but if Hayes is injured, we are stuck for ideas on that wing, aren't we? So, yeah, I mean, I'd be happy with the same lineup, but it would be good if we can get the centre back in and the left back in, getting them some game time nice and early would be good as well.
So I'm gonna go on the assumption that we don't get any players in, just because I don't want to hype us up, or we may get like a 1 p.m. announcement again. But the one thing that does sort of stick with me from the Wrexham game is that Carl Johnston did switch over to left back once we'd conceded. Now, I'm not sure whether he's got that in his locker for 90 minutes, but I think that there probably is a possibility that he does come in at left back. And I think that would be harsh on Harley Mills, don't get me wrong, but there's no way that we've signed this player and he doesn't come back in. And also, I don't think that Katonga was too bad last night. He's not had the greatest loan this season. But I think that Katongo as right back, Johnston as left back, and then one of Manny, Wallin or Nevitt in the middle is probably the most likely scenario on the basis that nobody comes in. As for Odo, crikey, I'm still not convinced in the slightest. I was going to say something along the lines of, with Gustav hitting form and scoring 2 goals, I don't see a way for Ricky back into the team. But I think I'm going to go against that, and I'm going to say that that Odo needs putting back on the bench and Ricky probably starts on the wing. When he came on yesterday, it was, what, a 30-minute cameo on right wing, and he was absolutely toasting their left back. He was putting it through their legs, dancing around them. And we've always said that, do we feel that Ricky's a little bit more of a winger? Yes, maybe he is. That doesn't take away from the fact that he's been disappointing in the last sort of month, 6 weeks or so, and does look like he's trying to, you know, maybe save himself for later on in the season, whether that would be with Posh or somebody else. But I think that I definitely prefer to see Ricky than Odo. Maybe he's not as good with the ball close control, but assuming that Hayes is injured, then Ricky's the one that comes in for me. Absolute no-brainer.
Well, for me, for my defensive lineup, I'm going to assume we won't sign anybody. I would stick with Jenkinson on the right. And fucking hell, Johnston.
Mate, D-Mac, like... Look, you, Dale, you and D-Mac have got too much in common here because he called him Jenkinson as well.
Well, yeah. Well, anyway, so I'd stick him on the right back. Okay, I would play Harley Mills. Centre back, I would probably go with. I don't even know because Wallin has his moments, Fernandez has his moments, Neves has his moments. I would start with Katongo, and another at the back. I don't know who. And you're right. Up front, I would keep Gustav. I'd keep Gustav. Odo, oh mate, come on! You're making me look fucking stupid again. I've said it a few times this season. One of my predictions, yeah, Odo's going to be a player who excites us, mate. You're not exciting me. You just fucking give me the shits or whatever. Just So yeah, I wouldn't play Odo. I don't know. Would I play Wiki on the ring? On the wing for a bit of pace? I really don't know. Ring. Fuck, you know, I should have a script really, shouldn't I? You know what I mean? And read the words or an auto cue. But I don't know. He's not impressing me either. And, you know, if he's not going to put the effort and if he's not going to fucking, you know, show a bit of how good he is, don't fucking play, you know? You're going to get your move, fuck off. That's my attitude of any player, you know? Whilst you play for us, you put everything into it. If you get injured, then fucking so be it. You know, I think two of the best players for that sort of attitude was we had Craig Macclesmith, if you remember, and we had that twat who went to Cambridge, the defender. Obviously, he didn't go direct to Cambridge, he went to Norwich.
What? Cal Watts?
No.
Martin? No. No.
Bennett.
So both of those, you know, middle of the season, they both was given potentially a big move. So Norwich signed Bennett in January to go at the end of the season, and we retained him. He was fucking superb for that second half of the season. That is the attitude of a player that I want. He'd got his move. He was playing his heart and soul out, unlike what Efron Clark done for us last season, because as soon as that happened, his form dipped. And Craig McCall fucking Smith, you know, he'd give everything. He absolutely give everything every game. He wasn't the best player in the world, but he fucking give everything. And he knew he was going at the end of the season. And the effort that he put in, even in the fucking playoff final, do you remember that? And that's what I want from a player that's going to be going on the pastures new. The likes of Ricky sort of like, you know, plodding around or whatever, I don't think his heart's in Peterborough at the moment. Don't fucking play. Simple as that. Couldn't give a shit. So yeah, that would be who I'd have up top. Gustav.
I think gone are the days where we have those hardworking players. Especially this season, it just seems to be like hardly any of them feel like they're actually, you know, putting in that effort. And it does feel like the ones that are out of contract this summer are the ones that are putting in the least effort as well. Like, I think the only two that I'd say look like they're giving it a proper go is Archie Collins and Kieran Hayes. And obviously Archie's here for another season. Kieran Hayes is a new signing. Compared to that squad that you've just spoke about, Dale, that these aren't very likable players, but I think they're likable in their own ways. I think gone are the days where you're asking for the hard-working attitude that you've just mentioned there.
I don't think it's not as likable. I think the what I was trying to get to is the attitude. I think the attitude is different from previous teams. As I said about, you know, Bennett, it was his attitude. Macal Smith, his attitude. Whereas at the moment, you know, if some players have got like, oh, I could potentially move into a big club at the end of the season, the attitude is not right. You know, you should still have that fucking hell. You're paying me to do a job. I need to do the best of my ability. And I don't think we're necessarily getting that for some. That's all I'm saying. And again, what you just said about the players putting the effort in, I think when we just already mentioned him, Con Clark, he puts the effort in. He's fucking, man, that bloke comes off the pitch and you know that he has put a shift in. You know, he's chasing, he's hurrying, he's, you know, and that's what I want to see, if I'm honest. So, yeah, I don't think we should be too downhearted on some of the ones that are going to be playing with us next season. But the ones that are probably going to pastures new, thank you. See ya.
Speaking of transfers, I know we've not really touched on these players that are potentially coming in this week. And I said about us having too many centre-backs and probably needing to get rid of one. I agree with what you said earlier, actually. I think Katongo is much better at right-back than he is centre-back. I think his flaws at centre-back are exposed too much. And yeah, from what I saw in the game last night, he was good last night. Which makes me wonder whether we should change things up a bit. And is he happy to sit second fiddle to Carl Johnston? Because if he is, that's a good asset to have, especially if we're playing five at the back away from home, because he can fill in at centre-back. And then the one that you'd want to leave the squad is Dornelli. I think this is a great opportunity for him to go out on loan for the second half of the season, get some regular game time every single week, playing in front of a more forgiving crowd, maybe a smaller one if he goes to a non-league or a League Two club. And then George Nevitt's the other one, but I think George Nevitt's probably one that's going to benefit from our coaching, considering it's his first season. Dornelli's obviously had coaching at Peterborough United for 10 years or whatever now. So keep Nevitt in the squad, get him coaching, get him used to the players and the way we play, but get Dornelli out and get him some experience. That's what I say.
Well, or send Katongo back, you know, because we had the conversation about Curtis. You know, we brought Curtis in as loan and we was playing it right back and we said, why don't we develop our own players? Well, we're in a situation now where we could potentially develop our own centre-backs, but one of them is being held back if we're going to be playing Katongo at right back, at centre-back, you know. So whilst Katongo's not a dislikable player, is not shit. Is he much better than what we've already got? Not much better. It might be a little bit better. Or do we just like sort of develop our own players? Just chucking it out there. So, you know, if that's the way you want to go, rather than sending our own players out for loan, why don't we just send our loan players back and play our own players?
I think that the big difference there is that it really does feel like Dornelli would benefit from 90 minutes week in, week out, Tuesday, Saturday, back and forth. And when you send these players down to non-league, they've had games postponed over the winter with frozen pitches, so you can have a lot more Tuesday, Saturdays coming up, and there will be more cancelled games where they then bulk into Tuesday, Saturdays. I think that the prime example of that, and I know that we've discussed it before, is look what happened to Harley Mills. He went all the way down to Enfield and sort of went for a month, 6 weeks, I think it was, and he's got that game time, built himself up, got some confidence into his game, and he's come back in and now he's starting for the first team. I don't think that there's any benefit of James Dornelli currently being sat on the bench because, like Lodd says, if he's had 10 years of the coaching, is 3-4 months of him missing out on that going to harm him that badly? No, I don't think it is. And like Lodd says, Katongo is a perfect sort of backup plan. The only issue that you'd have there is whether Man City are happy with Jadel Katongo to be sat on the bench as an understudy, as a lone player. I think that's one that needs discussing as well.
I think another thing that's worth pointing out with these loan deals to non-league as well is that, especially in Dornelli's case, he's only ever had one manager in senior football. Fergie was the one that brought him into the first team, and he's not played under any other manager. When you go to non-league, you get such a wide variety of experienced pros, like 35-year-olds that have played football league for 20 years, and you get those proper old school managers. And I'm not saying Fergie's coaching's wrong, but he's not perfect. Dornelli will learn things from a different manager. And then those experienced pros is something that we absolutely lack in our dressing room at the moment. And that's our policy. We haven't had a 35 plus player that's played 20 years of English football in our squad for years and years now. And that these youngsters are probably being hampered because of that. They're trying to learn from players that have only played in the league for 2 years. And the majority of that's with us anyway. So I don't think when players get loaned out to clubs like Enfield, I don't think we should see it as a negative that, oh, look how far down they're having to go to get game time. It's not the case. It's just learning more off the pitch than on the pitch. They already know their role. They've had the coaching. It's just maybe the attitude thing that Dell's saying, maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's a professionalism thing. And maybe it's just, you know, building that consistency up week in, week out, like we've said.
Yeah, I think that you're right. And it's not so much about a culture shock. I don't think these players need culture shocks as such, but it maybe just is sort of like the, look, if you don't succeed at that level, this is what you'll become. And as a 19, 20-year-old, do you want to be playing permanent football at semi-pro level? No, you don't. So, you know, I think that Dornelli would definitely benefit from it. I'd like to see where Nevitt goes for the next sort of 6 months. And then maybe it might be something that we review into next season, whether he takes a sort of 3-4 month loan at the start of next season. But anyway, we've discussed Leyton Orient. It is time to move on to those dreaded score predictions. We will go Lods first, please.
Yeah, I've done not a great deal of research into the opposition, as normal. But I've just had a quick look, and they've won the last 5 games, Leyton Orient. They're in eighth, so I don't know how they've snuck up there. That's a bit concerning. This is a really hard one to predict, because obviously in the league we are out of form. We've just had a really good performance at home. We're going to be playing the four at the back like we used to. I can see us getting a result, but obviously I should imagine the odds are stacked up against us. I'll play it safe and I'll go a 1-1 draw.
I'm back. I'm feeling confident. Leyton Orient, like you say, Lods, they've been on a fucking great run in the league. But all good things come to an end. And Peterborough United's terrible run is coming to an end in the league. And Leyton Orient's good run is coming to an end in the league. We're going to win 4-1. Kyprianou is going to score because he fucking loves scoring against Leyton Orient, being an old team. Gustav's going to get 2. And Manny Fernandez is going to score 1 as well. Obviously, no clean sheet, because that is just so out of our locker until we at least bring in this experienced centre-back, which is proving very difficult to find. But yeah, I am so back and so confident that we win 4-1. Buzzing for it.
Well, I'm very, very confident as well. And not only am I going to say we're going to score goals, I believe we're going to keep a clean sheet. I know, mate, but I'm going to go for a 3-0 win. 3-0, I'm not going to say who's going to score. But what I will say is everybody knows I fucking love Leyton Orient's ground for the Pie Mash. And, you know, I've got a bit of an affection to Pie Mash. So if any of you Leyton Orient fans are coming up, you fancy bringing me up some Pie Mash and liquor from Godden's or Manzi's, you know, you're more than welcome, Ash. Make sure we sort of tag Leyton Orient in this. You know, give me a shout. Private message me. Tell me you're bringing it up fresh. Fucking hell, I'd love you forever. And I could be a Peterborough fan. But anyway, prediction, 3-0.
Well, look, 2 positive results and 1 draw. You know, it's starting to feel a bit more like up the podcast again. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Obviously, like I said, a slightly shorter episode. We've not touched on rebranding the football club. We will discuss that in our next recording, hopefully, when we have some bigger numbers. But for now, it's up the podcast.
Up the podcast, not the Ashcast.
Proud to be podcast.
Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Up the Podcast. Let us know your feedback. Give us any ideas for topics you would like to discuss, or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the Podcast.
Peterborough FC.
Ooh.
Or Pie Mash and Liquor FC.
Pie Mash and Liquor FC, just for the weekend. Pie Mash and Liquor. Oh, fucking hell.